Good morning. Just a matter of note, I know Andrew did an awesome job last week preaching, and so good job, Andrew. Good job, Haley. Behind every good man is a great woman. So thank you, Lord. Huh? Amen. And also, Miss Diana, for doing the communion last week. Thank you. She did an awesome job. And so, and everybody else. But I tell you, the Spirit of the Lord came into this place, and so we thank God. We thank God for what he's doing. We give all praise and glory and honor unto him this morning. Amen. If you would turn in your Bibles to Psalms 100, this is our church reading together. That means we all read. That's a new concept, huh? That means church reading, we all read. And he said he'll try. It'll be up on the TV soon. And so, and you might say, well, it's just, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And we need the word of God in our hearts and in our lives that it would produce great fruit in us. So we're going to start with verse 1. That's Psalms 100, page 976. Amen. If you have this kind of Bible. Verse 1. You ready? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. 3. Know you that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. 5. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. My Lord, you might want to get home and read this chapter again. My Lord, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I know Tuesday is Veterans Day. Do we have any veterans here? I don't know for sure. Who's it? Chris? Chris is a veteran. I know probably we all know some, maybe family members. I know my dad served in the Army. My brother, my oldest brother, served in the Army. And so it is a day that has been set aside on Tuesdays just to honor all veterans that gave of themselves, to our country, to our freedom, to our lives. And so thank you, Chris, and thank you for you have given yourself for this. And so we appreciate you doing that. And so, Tuesday is Veterans Day. You see somebody in uniform, go up to them and tell them thank you. Or if you have a family member, give them a call if they're still alive and say, look, just thank you. Some, especially I know family members, because of the wars they've been in, certain wars, they don't want to talk about it. And so, you have to honor what they desire. And so, God needs to do some healing. And so you just say thank you. Thank you for doing what you did. Some were drafted, some weren't, whatever situation it was. So we just want to give honor. Thank you, Chris. Give honor to everyone that you meet that has served or is serving at this time. So thank you. I want you to turn, if you would, to Exodus chapter 15, verse 3, page 133. Amen. We're going to read a few verses, and I'm going to talk about it, then we're going to get into the main text of today. You see, it takes a great woman or man, you know, to go into the military and serve for X amount of years. But you know, we're all in the army of the Lord. If you have given your heart to the Lord and you've accepted Him as Christ, as Lord of your life, you are in the army of the Lord. Amen. And He is our God. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He's the one that leads us and guides us as the Holy Spirit prompts our heart, speaks to us, shows us things, reveals Himself to us. You see, God is just not a God that's there and saying, okay, make it on your own. He doesn't do that. He's a personal God. Personal God that's saying, you walk in your path, let me come in and give you direction and help that you need. Let me show you the things that I need to reveal to you to help you in your life. Because you see, we were broken in covenant with Him, but Jesus brought back humanity in covenant with their God as He died upon Calvary's cross and gave His blood as the ransom for humanity. And now anyone upon the earth can call upon Jesus and that covenant comes back together. We are in covenant with our God. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is our God. We're not here alone. He leads us and guides us. And the devil will try to tell you that you're by yourself. That's not truth. But we have a God that takes care of us and helps us. Look at verse 3. Exodus 15:3. It says, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Your God is a warrior God. And you know what? He's never lost a battle. Should have shouted. Some of y'all did. Amen. I know some of you silently shouted. Yeah. I got it. Thank you. That's okay. Pastor, I silently shout for you. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. I understand. Hey, look. But He's a warrior God. When you joined with Him and you took on that covenant with Him, He didn't get the best of bargain here. We got the best. We got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He wars for you. You're not walking, since the time you got born again, you're not walking this path alone anymore. Before that, our God was Satan. That's the truth. We don't like to think of that because we were all a little religious. You know, we kind of went to church here or there. We did whatever. And so we don't want to think of that. But I tell you, until the time we got saved, our God was Satan. And now when we accepted Christ, Jesus, as our Lord and Savior, and what He did at Calvary, we came into the family of God. And so from that period of time, He takes us in. And we just have to keep our faith in Him. And what Jesus did at Calvary's cross, people. And as we do that, He takes care of every situation, every problem, everything that comes across our path, everything that we lay before Him. He takes it in and He solves those things. And He works within our hearts and within our lives. That's the kind of God we serve. A warrior God. A warrior God that's saying, I'm going to war for my daughter. I'm going to war for my son. Even though He knows He's won the battle. He's won, people. If Christ never gives us anything else in our lives, we've already got enough. Because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. Winning us back, bringing us back in covenant with Him. The new covenant. My Lord. My Lord. Keeping our faith and our trust in Him because of who He is. I want you to turn to Psalms 24, 8, page 895. He's a warrior God, people. He's strong and mighty, people. There's nothing too difficult that God cannot handle. I'm telling you, the enemy will try to tell you that God cannot handle the problem you and I are going through. What will we accept? Will we accept the word of the enemy or self? Or we will accept the word of Almighty God that says he can solve it. He can handle it. He can get it under control. He can do it no matter what. As he places his will upon the inside of our hearts. And we act upon what he says to do. And not upon what we want to do. You see? Psalms 24, 8 says, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. My Lord, my Lord. Some of you are thinking you've lost the battle. Get your eyes off of the battle. Get your eyes off of the storm. And put your eyes upon the King of Kings. And the Lord of Lords. Because it says that he's strong in battle. My Lord. Strong in battle. The Lord mighty in battle. He is strong and he is mighty. That's the King of Kings. Yes. The storms of life will come. As that song we sang last Sunday. Till the storm passes by. Keep your eyes on him. Keep looking to him. Till the storm passes by. The storms of life will come. But I tell you what, it's who you have with you that gets you through that storm of life. Some storms in life, honestly, come from our own selves. Huh? Bad decisions. Okay, let's everybody raise their hand, raise their feet, because we've all made some bad decisions. We all, you can keep them up. Yeah, no. We've all made some bad, bad, bad decisions. And we thought we were okay and we were doing right. But we made some horrible decisions. But also on the flip side of that now, we've also made some great decisions because the Spirit of the Lord prompted us, spoke to us, spoke through his word. And we're going to look at David and how he made some bad decisions. But how God still even protected him some. But he went through some horrible times. Remember, God is mighty. No matter what we go through in life, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And let me tell you, some storms in life are easy to go through, huh? I mean, some storms, you know, that's just like, let's look at storms. You know, sometimes we have a little storm passes through. Okay. Then, you know, you might have something that's pushing through. It's a little stronger, and it hits hard, you know. Then, you know, every time something passes through, after it all goes, I'll go around my house, and I look at it. Because you never know. We trust the Lord. You know, and hey, we trust God will protect us. That's just like somebody was traveling in front of my house years ago. And they called, I think Jelaine or myself, one of us, and they were just talking how they said, oh man, I was passing in front of your house. And look, not to give glory, but just to say how God takes care of things. And she said, I looked and I could see angels just going around your home. I said, what? They said, I could see it. See, that's how God takes care of it. We can't see that supernatural thing at times. And that's not what we look for. We don't look for signs and wonders. We serve God in faith in what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. Amen. Now, it's okay to, you know, for God to move and have a sign. But we don't look to that. Okay? but just the angels of God circling our home. Ooh, makes you want to shout, huh? Just think of this. The angels of God have been encamped around about your home and is going around and around. You might say, well, man, why this happening? You know, something, whatever, tragic, this. Just think if he wasn't, what would happen? You see, the enemy is so much stronger than us, people. Us as human beings, we are nothing to him. He can destroy us. But you see, the difference is our God that's in us. The God that we have accepted. The God that protects us. The God that gives us life. It's him that changes things. My Lord, that's when we can puff up with a little pride against the enemy. Not against people. And say, my God shall supply my needs. My God shall do great wonders. My God will heal my body. My God will give me direction. My God will bring my family back to Jesus Christ. My God will move. That's who we put our faith and our trust in. As we get up in the morning and we walk in those floors and we're praying for God to move upon our children. My God! To move upon our jobs. To move upon our families. Asking God to intervene somehow, some way. But we have our trust in him that he's going to move and do. I want you to turn to page 1593. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17. That's a book in the Bible, just to let you know. I didn't make it up. If you have verse 17, it says, the Lord your God in the midst of you is mighty. He will save. I know he's talking to the children of Israel, but let me tell you this, we have been engrafted in the vine. My Lord, he will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over you with singing. My Lord, my Lord. God will give you the victory that you need upon your heart and upon your life. Those things that have entangled the world, the Christian church, not just the world, the church, the body of Christ. Look, the body of Christ, Jesus died on Calvary's cross for the body of Christ, for people. But I tell you what, the church is in a mess. And you want to know why? It's not because of God. It's because of mankind. They're acting just like Cain and Abel. You know, Cain killed Abel because he brought God said for them to sacrifice. And Cain brought his vegetables. Remember this, you have to do everything God says to do it, the way he says to do it, because he knows what he's doing. Amen. Cain got so upset that God took in or accepted Abel's sacrifice, but not his. Abel brought the best lamb he had and killed it, and the blood was, because it was a foreshadowing of the blood of Jesus that would be shed upon Calvary's cross. So when Cain brought, and he grew vegetables, and they were beautiful, probably the biggest, the best ever seen before. But there was no blood in those vegetables, people. And so what he was saying, when he brought it and presented it before God, he was saying, God, you don't know what you're doing. I do things my way, and you have to accept it. Oh, my Lord, check yourself anytime you read something in the Word, and it pricks your heart and say, oh, Lord, no, I can't deal with that right now. That's just the conviction, not guilt, the conviction of the Holy Ghost saying, come on, you can do it, because I know what is best for you. And his anger got the best of him, and he killed his brother. The first murder of humankind that we know of upon the earth. Not good. Not good. He's a mighty warrior, people. The Lord your God is in the midst of you is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over you with singing. I want you to turn, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 29, page 520. Oh, amen, huh, brother? Mm-mm. I want to read a part of this about David. Starting with verse 1, we're going to read to verse 11 just to get the gist of it and get back to it. It says in verse 1, "Now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain which is in Jezreel. Verse 2, "And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands. But David and his men passed on in the reward with Aiak. Verse 3, "Then said the princes of the Philistines, 'What do these Hebrews here?' And Aiak said unto the princes of the Philistines, 'Is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which has been with me these days or these years, and have found no fault in him since he fell unto me unto this day?' And the princes of the Philistines were wroth with him." That means angry, okay? "And make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place, which you have appointed him. And let him not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us. For with all which shall be reconciled himself unto his master, should not be with the heads of these men. Is not David, of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, 'Saul killed his thousands, and David his tens of thousands.'" Remember Saul? "Then Aiak said David, and said unto him, 'Surely as the Lord lives, you shall have been upright. And your going out and your coming in with me in the host is good in my sight. For I have not found evil in you since the day of your coming unto me unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favor you not. 7. Wherefore now return and go in peace, that you displease not the lords of the Philistines.' And David said in Aiak, 'But what have I done? And what have you found in your servant so long as I have been with you unto the day, that I may not go fight against the enemies of my lord the king?'" He's lying right there. Y'all know that, huh? 9. "And Aiak answered and said to David, 'I know that you are going in my sight as an angel of God, notwithstanding the princes of the Philistines have said, you shall not go up with us to the battle. Wherefore now rise up early in the morning with your master's servants who are come with you. And as soon as you be with up early in the morning and have light, depart. 11. So David and his men rose up early to depart in the morning to return into the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines went up to Jezreel." And we'll read the rest, some of the part later. This is the context of it. David, called by God, and he was going to be the next king after Saul. Saul wasn't supposed to even be the first king. You know that. I know, you know. But David, because Saul was after him to kill him, David was in with the armies of God. If you want to say Israel or Judah. Judah is a part of Israel. And so what happened was, David said, because the prophet Samuel was alive, he stayed in the land of Israel or Judah in that area. Okay? As he stayed there, we know Saul was jealous of David. As they would sing, you know, "Saul has killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands." And jealous he came in. So anytime you feel jealousy in your heart towards something, could be somebody having more than what you have, check your heart. Don't let it stay. Say, "Father, forgive me." You know, it's not okay. It's okay to, you know, like somebody said, you know, what's jealousy? You know, they said, well, and I like the way they said, you know, it's okay to want shoes like that, like someone has. Let's say my shoes. Let's say you want some shoes like that. But jealousy or envy comes in when you say, "I want those shoes." That's the difference. Okay? There's nothing wrong with wanting better things. But when you say, "I want that that somebody else has, then there's a problem. And then you have to say, Lord, get that out of me. Get that out of my heart. But here we see as Samuel the prophet died, Saul was king, David was running around because Saul was after him. Many times he would throw javelins at him trying to kill him. Many times he did whatever he could to try to kill David. There was such jealousy there. And so David left where he was in Israel and went down to another land where the Philistines were, which were an enemy to God's people. For 16 months, he stayed in a land where God did not want him to be. You know, you might say, well, you know, if Saul was trying to kill him, you know, he just felt when Samuel died that no one could protect him. If God can protect you when Samuel is alive as a prophet, he can protect David when Samuel's dead as a prophet. You see? So David in his own mind, and this is David, the guy that's, you know, that is after God's own heart, says, I'm going into another land, and he leaves the promised land, the part where God had put him. Every decision we make, we can be in the promised land, or we can be in the land where God is not. We have to be careful as Christians. We have to go and be where God wants us to be. You know, many, you know, people will come and say, you know, well, I'm looking for a church. And I look at them and I say, well, you're looking for a church? I said, and I, you know, I can kind of understand what they're saying, but, you know, God knows where you need to be. So there's no question. You see, if, let's say I'm not a pastor. Cut that off of me this morning for a little bit. And I'm just a Christian. And I'm going around and I'm going to this church, you know, and in this church. And I understand looking for a place because let me tell you, not every church that's meeting this morning has the Spirit of God in it. Amen. You know, any church that has been approved by God has the Spirit of Almighty God. That's just like a guy was running, I think it was in Africa. They don't have cars, so he was running and he was trying to find a church. And he knew God had told him he needed to go to church and he needed to be at a church. And so, you know, on foot, he ran to one church. And when he got to the door, the Holy Spirit told him, no. So he took off and starts running. You know, they have to run. He didn't have a car. Get to another one, no. Every time he'd get to the front of it, God would say, no. Then finally, he's almost about to give up and he runs to another place. Out of town, and he gets to the door, and he's coming to the place where he's saying, now, Lord, is this it? See, that's where we need to be. Lord, is this it? Oh. And God, the Spirit of God said, go in. This is it. He needed a healing of some kind, and God miraculously healed that man, the power of God upon him. You see, we have to be where God calls us to be. Because that's where we will get what God wants to be able to live for him and do the things that God wants us to do. David lived in a land for 16 months. And you know what's a sad thing? David was next in line to be king over Israel. He was living in a land where they were about to go to battle against God's people. And David was willing, as we just read, to go with the Philistines and kill God's people. Sin will bring you further down than you want to go. It will destroy you. Decisions are very important. And I'm telling you what, and if it wasn't for God that intervened in the commander of that army for the Philistines that said, we don't want them and his 600 men, David, he's talking about, to come and fight with us because they're going to turn around and they're going to kill us. But you see, he was willing to go into the promised land that God had given to the children of Israel, and he would be next in line as king and kill his fellow brothers and brothers in Christ because God had given him that position. But God intervened. We have to be careful where we go, what we do, what we say, because you never know. The enemy is trying to what? John 10:10. Steal, kill, and what? He wants to destroy you. He wants you to make a wrong decision so you get out of the will of God. You might say, well, what do we do if we're out of the will of God? You get on your knees before God. You ask Him to forgive you. And you say, Lord, have mercy upon my life. Lead me and guide me and help me. And just because it says church on the front of it doesn't mean it's a church. People, it's bad. It's really bad. It's bad. And God moved in with David. Look at starting chapter 30. Read just a few verses there. Look at chapter 30, verse 6, starting there. It says this, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abithar the priest, Amaliah's son, I pray you bring me hither the ephod. And Abithar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered unto him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover. You might say, well, oof. God brought David to a place, and I'm explaining. I know I had to kind of leave some things off, but I'm explaining. God was working on David for 16 months. He just didn't serve the Lord, people. He had, and you know what's sad? 600 men followed him. Why didn't one of them speak up and say, David, we should not be here? So he can get back on track. David took his 600 men and he went and he conquered cities all over in that area. The king gave him Ziklag. That's what they're talking about. And he came back after his triumph. And everything in that city that was in Philistine territory, that city, Ziklag, was burnt down to the ground. The enemy came in, burnt everything to the ground, took the women and the children. That's still the mercy of God. You're going to see it. Because they could have killed them all. And the elderly. They took everybody. And they were bringing them to their land so that they could be slaves and be sold into slavery. And David and his men, you know, they come back conquering. Okay. And they walk into their, they could see the smoke. And they said, oh my Lord, what's going on? And finally, as they get closer, they see devastation. They see the 600 men come in, going to their homes that barely anything left, and their wives are gone, their children are gone. They don't know what happened for sure. They just knew an enemy came in and destroyed. They didn't know if they were all dead or not. But that brought David to his knees. He was on a track of destruction, not following God. God, and you, so God knew he was a man after his own heart, but he had to bring him back to reality. He had to bring him back to repentance. He had to bring him back to him. That he would say, Lord, forgive me for going on the wrong track, Lord. And hey, we've all done it. None of us could throw a stone at him. We've all been there, but God has turned us. We got to remember, we need to keep, he needs to turn back. We need to turn back unto him. And he turned back and he went. Because the men, the 600 men, you know what they wanted to do to David? They want to stone him. Now, I've never been stoned before. But I'm sure, you know, it's not as quick as a bullet. But I'm sure if 600 men have each a stone and they start throwing, well, that's a slow death. But they will die. And you know what David did when he heard? He was in sorrow. He turned to the priest and he said, bring me the ephod, which is what the Urim and the Thummim that they had. These were two things. They don't know if it was sticks. They don't know if it was a dice of some kind or rocks. But it was something that would help them to be led by the Spirit of God. We don't have that today, thank God, because they'd probably try to carve it up and sell it to make some money. We have the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us now. The God, the King of Kings on the inside of us. We have something better than ever before from the beginning of time almost. That means David was inquiring of the Lord. Look, that was a turn of events for him after 16 months. Because you see, after, you know, during those 16 months, his heart got a little hard towards God. Disobedience does not make our heart tender towards God. It makes us hard towards God and hard towards people. It makes us start hating people and doing evil in the sight of the Lord. We don't know everything David did, but he still, God said he was a man after my own heart. You might say, well, Pastor, you don't know everything in my life. Well, I don't want to know everything. That's not my job. My job is to lead you in the right path. Your job is to get to God and let the Spirit of God work and move and cleanse. Ooh, my Lord. He can do a major thing in an instant, people. My Lord. David said, I need to inquire of the Lord. I'm sure he got by himself because he had 600 men that hated him because all their wives, all their children, their mothers, the elderly were all gone. His heart was broken, people. And that's another sermon, brokenness before God. And he said, Lord, I'm calling on you. God will bring you to the place you need to be to get back on track. He is so tender-hearted towards us. He's so kind to us. He's so loving towards us. But we got to be willing to change. And he said, God, should I pursue? Probably before that, David would have said, let's go. I mean, they wouldn't have stayed 5 minutes there. Let's go get him. But God knew how to break them. God knows how to break each and every one of us. He knows what will break him, but won't break me. So he knows what will break me and what won't you. But we have to allow the Spirit of God to move upon us. You see? We don't do things because we just want to do it. We do things because God, the Holy Ghost, has moved upon our lives and is showing us what we need to do. How to solve that situation. How to solve that problem. God came over David and said, go, pursue. And when God told David, go and pursue, he was relying upon God. And they went in there and they took back everything that was stolen from them. See, we got to be willing to do what God says by the Spirit of the Lord. You might say, well, sometimes I don't know if it's God's Spirit or not. Well, you get with him, keep getting with him. And you'll learn his voice. Because he says this. It says, my sheep know my voice. It doesn't say, my sheep do not know my voice. Or, my sheep are always not doing well. We know his voice, people. When God speaks, the Spirit of God. And God gave back David what he needed. He needed that relationship restored unto him. That's the main thing, people. Look, you can help every charity in the world. You can give, you can sell everything you have and do everything that, whatever, and become poor. And that, I guess that's great if that's what you want. But I tell you what, the greatest thing is listening to the Spirit of the Lord and letting Him lead you and guide you and to be your God, to help you accomplish what He wants you to accomplish in your life. Mm. We all want that famous word to be said at our funeral or to be said by God towards us, "Thou good and faithful servant." We all want that to be said of us, but we have to do it here in order to get that. "Thou good and faithful servant of Almighty God." I said, that's kind of hard. Well, look, take the time in the morning. Take the time at noonday. Take the time at night. Read His word. Get it in you. Speak to Him. Speak, you know, acknowledge who He is. Praise Him and honor Him. And let the Spirit of God come into your homes, that God can change our hearts, change our lives. The things we're struggling with, that God, because our faith is in Christ and what Jesus did at Calvary's cross, that those things that entangle our wrists fall off because our faith is in Him and Him alone. Those things that entangle our mind, that we start to think on things that are pure, holy, true, just, of good report, those things would be in our hearts and lives so that we don't think things that aren't true. Vain imaginations, my Lord, my Lord. Think on things that are true, just, of good report. But David, thank God for God's mercy. He turned him around. Sometimes we need a little turning, huh? Sometimes we need a little attitude adjustment, huh? Amen? Sometimes we need a little direction from the Lord. Sometimes we need the power of God to come in and change us. We need God. We need God. We need Him. If the body of Christ, the church of the living God, can run without the Spirit of the Lord, we're just another organization. We're just another nonprofit organization. We might as well, you know, build a golf club back there and, you know, whatever we want. But the church is different. It's a living organism. It's alive by the Spirit of God. It's alive by the anointing of God. And so we need the God that is alive to live in us and to move in our hearts and our lives, to change us and make us into what we need to be. David had to have a hard awakening, but it took God raising up 600 men that were ready to stone him. God may let things rise up in your life to change your heart and your life just like me. Okay? And when it rises up, look in your heart. Look in your life. Look in my heart. Look in my life and say, "Lord, is there something I need to change?" Not blame everybody else. You know people like that. They're the common denominator of all problems. It's them and whoever, them and whoever, them and whoever. It goes around. And you come to find out it's them. You know? It's them. We don't want to be the problem. We want to be the solution giver. We want to be the helper. Let God move. Let God move. Don't get off track. Keep your faith focused on Him and Him alone, people. And He will lead you. He will guide you. And look, people will say all kinds of things. You don't worry about that stuff. You let it go. You let it go. You don't worry about that. See, that's just the enemy trying to get your eyes off of the cross of Calvary. But the enemy doesn't realize as he does that, God is on this end saying, "Okay, just keep trusting me." And your faith rises up. Oh, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. It rises up and keeps you close to Him. You might say, "Well, Pastor, what if I make a mistake?" You get on your knees or whatever, and you just ask God to forgive you, and you go on. Don't beat yourself down. Don't go share that with everybody, because that's a battle they're going to have to fight with for you. And so you keep it straight with God and you say, Lord, forgive me, and you go on. And you see God's going to work and move. Every great man or woman in the Bible, you look at their lives, most of them were a mess. A mess. Amen. I don't know what they were saying, but that's okay. Amen. Well, a mess. But God can come in and make things right. Amen.